This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company. For more information and links to all our great podcasts, visit hartmanmedia.com.
Welcome to The Commercial Investing Show, where we analyze, explain, and exploit the opportunities presented in today's commercial property marketplace. If you're interested in apartments, mobile home parks, self-storage facilities, and other income property, you've come to the right place. We'll explore what's hot and what's not in markets nationwide in the relentless pursuit of return on investment. Here's your host, Jason Hartman.
Welcome to the show. This is Jason Hartman, your host, and every 10th episode, we do something kind of special, kind of different. What we do is we go off topic. So regardless of which show it is on the Hartman Media Network, whether it be one of the financial shows, economics, real estate investing, travel, longevity, all of the other topics that we have, every 10th episode, we go off topic and we explore something of general interest, something of general life success value. And so many of our listeners around the world in 164 countries have absolutely loved our 10th episode shows. So that's what we're going to do today. And let's go ahead and get to our guest with a special 10th episode show. And of course, on the next episode, we'll be back to our regular programming. Here we go. It's my pleasure to welcome Mark Jaffe to the show. He is the author of Suitcase of Happiness, HAPPYNESS, a roadmap to achieve and enjoy your happiest life. Mark, welcome. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me, Jason.
It's good to have you on. So you've identified 5 barriers and 10 things that one can do on the pathway to happiness. Tell us how you came to write this book.
You know, it was interesting. I've, like many people, had many tragedies in my life and hard times, but I've always been able to be a happy guy. If people would say to me virtually at any point in my life, are you a happy person? I would say yes. And now that I've had kids and they're adults, I thought, I want to pass that on to them. And I have this incredibly wonderful relationship with my children. I mean, we've gone on amazing vacations together. We see each other once or twice a week. But you can't really ask your 23-year-old son, hey, how about if we go out and have a drink and talk about how to be happy? Because that isn't something that they're going to want to do with you. And so I decided to write this book. And it became this labor of love. And I don't even like writing, but I got to tell you, writing about happiness was some of the happiest times I've had.
When you say you've had tragedies befall you, what kind of things are you talking about? I mean, really significant things or the usual struggles that we all encounter?
Well, I've had the usual struggles. I've had a job that didn't work out. I've had a marriage that worked out until it didn't work out. So I've had all the usual things. But, you know, I've also had a woman who I love deeply and thought I was going to spend the rest of my life with commit suicide. And that one, it stopped me in my tracks. It felt as if there was a cloud of darkness that enveloped me, and it was a cold, dark fog that I couldn't escape. It surrounded me everywhere. And I remember after literally months of being surrounded in this darkness and unable to shed the heaviness of it, I was talking to someone who was a CEO coach, and I was telling him about it, and he said, well, Mark, how about if you try this? How about if during one of your dark moments, you say, I am really unhappy. I am so miserable. I miss Beth so much. And I say, that sounds good. I could do that. And then what? He goes, that's it. I go, what do you mean that's it? That's nothing. I'm just acknowledging that I'm miserable. He said, exactly. You're acknowledging it and you're accepting it. Because before you accept things, you can't move on to the next stage of your life. And even though it seemed so ridiculous to me to just sit in a room and talk about how miserable I was to myself, that's exactly what I did. And slowly but surely, the fog lifted. I was able to accept the fact that she was gone, and I was able to move on with my life. And one of the core principles of the book is that the reason you can say I am a happy person is because happiness does, in fact, coexist quite peacefully with unhappiness. And the reason is because if you focus on happiness, if you focus on collecting happy moments, you will find them. and they will surround you, and they will be your go-to state. And yes, unhappy things will happen, sometimes incredibly horrific unhappy things. But if you move past acceptance and back on track to happiness, you'll realize that happiness is your natural state, and that was just a temporary setback.
I'm sure everybody listening will agree that sometimes in life, hopefully not too often, but certainly sometimes, we are our own worst enemies. We sabotage ourselves. We create our own barriers, and these barriers to happiness. You've identified five of them in the book. Talk to us about a couple of those and how we can overcome those barriers.
Well, there is a quote that a woman named Agnes Repellier said that is just so pertinent to this question. She said, "It's not easy to find happiness in ourselves, and it's impossible to find it elsewhere." And your point about barriers is just so right. We create these barriers for self. And one of the barriers that I think many of your listeners, particularly as assuming that many of them are professionals, is we all want to advance in our career. We all want to make money. We all want to be more successful. And we have this endless pursuit of success, which is truly a barrier to our happiness. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with success. There's just a problem with the endless pursuit of it. Because when you're planning and striving for success, you're not planning and striving to the moments you've already achieved with the success you've already achieved. And I think sometimes if we just accept that we're on the road to success and we love success, but we think more about the moment that we have that we could be happy as opposed to constantly striving, I think we'll be happier. Because at the end of the day, the ladder of success just leads to another rung of success. It doesn't lead to another rung of happiness. And I confronted this with my son when he graduated college and he was getting his first job and he's thinking about, okay, I'm at this age, I'm making this amount of money. At this age, I got to make this amount, be on my third job. And I said to him, what is success? And we really struggled with the concept of how do you know that it's okay to step temporarily off of, you know, this hamster wheel of pursuing success. And so the definition that I came up with for success, and it's my definition, I've spoken to many people with whom it resonates, but it's my definition, is success is the ability to do what you want to do whenever you want to do it with people with whom you love being. And to me, if you could get to that point, you are truly successful, and it doesn't matter.
Say that again, that definition, if you would.
Success is the ability to do whatever you want to do with whomever you want to do it at whatever time you would like to engage in that activity. It is unity and freedom to engage in the things in which you find pleasure.
Right.
And so think about it for a moment. Think about the corporate striver who is always on airplanes, running all over the place. And then think about the person who has a 9-to-5 job, who can't wait to get home with his family and sit around the dinner table and enjoy each other's company. Mm-hmm. Who's happier?
Isn't this all about balance, really? Because certainly, if we don't strive, if we don't try to expand our abilities and our goals and think big and be progressive, we become smaller, don't we? I mean, this is what progress is made of. And whether it be at a societal level or an individual level, I think, but it can become so out of balance that all we're doing is striving and we're never enjoying, right? Isn't it a matter of balance?
Yeah, it's clearly a matter of balance. And I would say in a broader sense, it's a matter of perspective. And, you know, I took my son, we'd go on these amazing trips, and I took him deep into the jungle in southern Panama in an area called the Darien, which is this area that has no roads. You could only access it via small rivers. It's on the Colombian border. It's kind of this lawless place where the government really doesn't go. And he and I stayed in this tribal village together that was incredibly poor. I mean, we would call the guy with the green shirt the guy with the green shirt because it was the only shirt he owned. And there were no doors, no windows on these huts. People would see whatever's inside. They were open air huts that you could see from the outside to the inside, but no one ever stole anything. When someone got married in that village, everybody would stop work for that day and they would build a new hut for the married couple. And anyway, so we had this great time. We participated in all those activities. the day we were leaving, we were sitting by the river waiting for the canoe to come get us because, you know, we had to wait for a high tide. And all these little kids, you know, 6, 7, 8 years old, would run to the river after school was over at noon, and they would take off their underwear and put it on their heads, and they would be diving in the river and splashing and having the best time. And my son looked at me and he goes, "Daddy, why do they have their underwear on their heads?" And I said, "Because it's their only pair and the river is muddy. And if their underwear gets muddy, they're going to have to wear mud covered underwear for who knows how long." And all of a sudden I looked at my son and I said, "Jason, who do you think has the better life? These poor children with underwear on their heads splashing in the river, or you and your friends in California with all the things that you own and possess and the places you go and the things that you do?" And he stopped and he looked at me quizzically, easily at 14 years old, which was amazing. He was so quiet for 30 seconds. And all of a sudden, after 30 seconds, I saw his eyes reconnect with mine and he said, "I don't know." And at that moment, I felt he got the gift of perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So often, because we're out of balance, we lose perspective. And perspective is one of the biggest barriers to happiness.
No question. Mark, I want to make sure we have time to just cover a couple other points in your book. Take whichever ones you want, maybe another barrier, or maybe even better yet, some of the 10 steps on the pathway toward happiness. And just let's cover a couple of those real quickly if we can.
Sure, I'd love to. You know, one of my favorite ones and one of the ones that resonates with so many people is the rule of yes. If you've ever watched an improv show, you can imagine that these improv guys, there's a method to their madness. And the method to their madness is called yes and. So if there's somebody on the stage and he says, "Hey, did you see that wild pig that ran just through our train car?" The other person could say, "Well, no, I didn't." And then the scene drops dead. I mean, where do you go? Or the other person can say, "Yes, I did. And did you see he was holding an apple in his mouth?" And then all of a sudden you could talk about all sorts of crazy things. He was running away from the chef who wanted to slaughter him for dinner. So the point of yes and is that when you say yes, you open the door to opportunity. I mean, just think about if you're talking to your best friend or your girlfriend or your mom or your child, and you say, "Hey, how about if we do this?" And they go, "Nah, not into it." That stops a moment of happiness that could have happened that is now not going to happen. And it takes two people to say yes, you and the other person, for something to happen. If just one person says no, it ends the scene, it ends the opportunity for happiness. And my belief is that there are moments of happiness all around us. The only thing that stops us from having them is saying yes. Even if you're alone and you see the potential for something, but you're too hot, you're too tired, you're too lazy, you're too whatever, you say no and you close the door to that potential moment of happiness. And I did a workshop on this a number of months ago. And I remember there was this group of people from Australia who had attended the workshop. And they afterwards, 2 weeks later, sent me an email that said, "After we heard you speak, we decided to say yes to each other all the time, and it was the best vacation we had ever had, just because the word yes opened up the opportunity for happiness."
I agree with that one. You know, I love that movie, Yes Man, with Jim Carrey. And I think that has huge lessons for life in general, because if we just start saying yes to more stuff, you know, we may make some mistakes for sure. We'll say yes to some stupid things, no question about it, but we can fix them. You know, it's not like they're unfixable. And by not saying yes, we just completely miss opportunities. So I agree. That's a good point.
You know, Richard Branson is very famous for saying, "Life is a hell of a lot more fun if you say yes rather than no."
Mm-hmm.
And that's who knows how to have fun.
Absolutely, absolutely. I have hung out with Richard Branson a couple of times. He grabs life with both hands. You know, he's a party animal. He's an athlete. He just likes to enjoy stuff and have a good time. So that's great.
Using him as an example, it leads me right into another pathway to happiness that I want to talk about, which is the power of passion. I had a friend of mine who went to Croatia, and she was staying with this 60-year-old woman. She was in her 40s. And the 60-year-old woman said, "Hey, how about if we go river rafting tomorrow? I have a river raft, I have all the equipment, and the river is very close to here." And my friend said, okay. Well, of course, the next morning, it's 41 degrees. It's a complete downpour. The wind is blowing. It's bitter cold. It's wet. My friend is thinking, I'd rather get a root canal than go river rafting right now. And lo and behold, this woman walks in with all her equipment and a big smile and says, ready to go? And my friend realizes she has three choices. Choice number one is say, are you crazy? There is no way I'm going out there. Choice number two is knowing how excited this woman is. She says, thinking, okay, I'll say yes, and I'll grin and bear it. And choice three, which I call the passion choice, is she says to herself, not only am I going to say yes, but I am going to have the best time ever because I am going to engage in that activity with every ounce of passion that I have. And I'll tell you, and this is a true story, my friend said that river rafting trip was the highlight of her entire vacation. And the complete irony is that she was rarely conscious of how cold she was. Because when you engage with passion, time tends to stand still. You're not conscious in a very material way about how cold you are, how tired you are. And, you know, just think about anything in which you've engaged where you're cold or you're tired and you just are having so much fun that you're completely unaware of anything that's troubling you because passion overrides everything.
That's exactly how children do it and how my dog does it too. Dogs are the same way as the kids. They just jump in, they get in the water, they don't think about how cold it is. They just have a good time and they're totally present in the moment. And I think we all as adults, you know, we lose that, right? And we could learn a lot from that. That's really good. Mark, give out your website and tell people where they can find out more and then wrap this up for us.
Great. The website is suitcaseofhappiness.com. And once again, happiness is spelled H-A-P-P-Y-N-E-S-S. I invite you to follow me on Twitter. I mean, the Twitter followers that I've had in the last 2 months, it's just exploded. I'd love you to be part of the conversation. My Twitter handle is at Mark Jaffe. M-A-R-K-J-A-F-F-E. And on Instagram, I'm at MarkJaffe1. M-A-R-K-J-A-F-F-E-1.
Before you wrap it up, tell us, do you not know how to spell happiness?
Well, I do. And it's spelled with a Y for a reason. Originally, when I was writing this book, I was talking to people and asking them what was happiness. And for the vast majority of people, they're fleeting moments. Yeah, that made me so happy. And then all of a sudden I realized ... I have to go to work or, you know, whatever your issue is at the moment. But for me, happiness is an enduring state that lasts. And I felt I needed to spell it differently to emphasize that point. When you're a happy person, you're truly happy. You have an enduring state of happiness. By collecting these moments of happiness, putting them in your suitcase of happiness and surrounding yourselves with a focus on happiness, you can and will be happy in an enduring, lasting state of happiness. And yes, it's spelled with a Y.
Fantastic. Mark Jaffe, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much for listening. Please be sure to subscribe so that you don't miss any episodes. Be sure to check out the show's specific website and our general website, artmanmedia.com, for appropriate disclaimers and terms of service. Remember that guest opinions are their own, and if you require specific legal or tax advice or advice in any other specialized area, please consult an appropriate professional. And we also very much appreciate you reviewing the show. Please go to iTunes or Stitcher Radio or whatever platform you're using and write a review for the show. We would very much appreciate that. And be sure to make it official and subscribe so you do not miss any episodes. We look forward to seeing you on the next episode.